What's up, guys? How's it going? Come on. We've got a little bit of a smaller crew today, but the few and the faithful, thank you for being here. I am super excited to get here with you guys and open up God's word and just talk a little bit about our third king, Solomon. But before we do that, I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. Can anybody raise their hand and tell me what this is? Right there. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Okay, raise your hand. Hey, shh. Who here has actually seen the Leaning Tower of Pisa in real life in front of them? IRL. Yeah? Yeah? Did you guys take a picture of you like pushing it over? Yeah? Okay, that's awesome. Well, okay, everybody look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and I want to tell you guys a quick story about the history behind the Leaning Tower of Pisa, not the Leaning Tower of Pizza, which is what I called it for the longest time. But back in 1173, which is a long, long time ago, they started building the Leaning Tower of Pisa. But the truth is, they actually didn't purposely make that lean. They made a blueprint of what the tower would look like. It's online if you want to go look at it. It was just a straight tower. And as they were building, about halfway through, they kind of, you know, improvised here and there with like a piece of wood or like a piece of metal, like all of that. And it actually started to lean a little bit. And so, you know, logically, if you're like, hey, if it's leaning one way, let's put more weight on the other side so that it evens out. And what happened here is they put too much weight and it started leaning more. And so the reason why I bring this story up is because the people who built this had the blueprint, but you know what? They were like, ah, we got this. Like, we'll build right here. We'll just improvise right here and we'll like hopefully fix it so that it doesn't fully lean over. And ultimately, they made it even worse. I mean, look at that thing. It's literally leaning. And the fact that it hasn't fallen over is incredible. But that wasn't the true intention, what they had in the blueprints. And the reason why I bring that up is because, guys, we get a blueprint in our lives on what it looks like to live a godly life. And we're going to look at Solomon and his life. And guys, Solomon, truthfully, I mean, he had it all like laid out for him. God was like, hey, if you just love me and obey me and do these things, life will go well for you. And we want to talk about three leadership lessons about the life of Solomon and look at the blueprint that he had that I really do think applies to us. And that's the reason why we're doing this series, Tale of Three Kings, is it's not just to look to the past and be like, oh, those guys, they were like, you know, they were kings, but I'm not a king. But we can learn from not only the things that God provided for these kings, but also the struggles that they went through. I think what we're gonna look at today in Solomon is a lot of the struggles that I face today, and I know that you guys face. And so, if you guys have your Bibles open, open up to 1 Kings. We're going to be working through the book of 1 Kings. We're going to kind of pick and choose some of the passages in 1 Kings that's the life of Solomon that I think are really applicable and will give you a good picture of his life. But today we're going to talk about three leadership lessons. And so what those are going to be, if you're taking notes, it's going to be that wisdom comes from God, okay? And there's a passage that talks all about how wisdom, that Solomon got wisdom from God. And then the second one is your heart follows what you love most, okay? Your heart follows what you love most. And lastly, our third leadership lesson is that obedience leads to life, okay? Obedience leads to life, and we'll talk more about that. But before we jump into the actual text in 1 Kings, let's just set up a little bit about who Solomon is. So if you remember last week, Jonathan talked about how King David was the second king of Israel. He is the man after God's own heart. And David, you know, was a great king. He loved God. He sang praises to God. But then also David made some mistakes. Because of that, he lost his kingship and it went to his son Solomon. So Solomon is David's son, the next one in line, okay? And guys, Solomon, when he first became king, God said, hey, if you just love me and obey me and follow me, things will go well for you, all right? And can anybody like raise their hand real quick? Maybe you grew up in church or Crossroads and like know a little bit about Solomon's story. What is Solomon known for? He like kind of built something. Bae. He asked for wisdom. What else? What did he like build? A temple. That's right. So he asked for wisdom and he built a temple. And we're going to talk a lot about that today because those were two notable things that Solomon did in his life. All right. So let's look a little bit first at 1 Kings 3. And it's going to be on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible with you. 1 Kings 3, verses 4 through 9. We're going to go real slow through it. I'll kind of explain it. Some of the verses that we're going to use are a little wordy, and I'll help explain a little bit about what it's trying to say, okay? So 1 Kings 3, 4 through 9. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father." Okay, so he goes, he has a dream, and God comes before him and says, "Hey, like, ask anything, I will give it to you." And what Solomon's response is, "Whoa, like, God, you have been faithful. You have been steadfast in your love to my father. And I praise you because of all that you've done." And let's continue working through. So that's just the first couple of verses. And then it says, And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in my place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" So I know that's kind of wordy. Basically, what he's saying is he goes before and he says to God, he's like, "God, like, I am now the king." And the words he uses is, "I am but like a little child." He's like, "I have no clue what I'm going to do to be king. I have no idea how to lead these people. God, I need your help." And what those last verses say is that he asked that he would discern between good and evil, which Bay answered earlier, is wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. And so that's our first point. Wisdom comes from God. And so that story, like, basically God goes to Solomon and is just like, "Hey, whatever you want, like, I'll give it to you." And God doesn't always work that way. He doesn't always come to us and is like, "Hey, I'll give you whatever you want. Like, what do you want?" But God remembered David and he was faithful to David. He's like, "Man, I'm gonna bless Solomon." And so he said, "Hey, ask whatever and I'll give it to you." And guys, how crazy is that? Imagine that. Just sit there and think, like, if there was one thing that you could pray for that God would give you, like, what would that be? For me, when I was in middle school, man, it was all about, like, I want to be the best on my sports team. I want to be the most liked in my school. Like, I want people to come and say that they like me, that they like spending time with me. I want to get invited to everything. Man, I just wanted people to like me. That's all that I wanted. And if God came to me, that's what I would have asked for. But Solomon's different. He doesn't say, "Hey, I want the people of my nation to like me." No, he said, "God, would you give me wisdom?" Because he said, "Man, I do not know what to do. I have this entire nation to lead, and I don't know what to do. I need your help. I need your wisdom." And God sees Solomon's humility, and he grants him that wisdom. And it talks about in 1 Kings that Solomon had wisdom like beyond measure, that nobody else had wisdom like Solomon did. He could discern from right and wrong, and people would come to him and ask him, "Hey, what should I do here?" And he'd be like, "This is the right thing to do." And it always worked out because Solomon had the wisdom that God gave him. And guys, the way that this just applies for us is, guys, being a leader, I don't know if you guys hear that a lot, but you guys are leaders. And being a leader can be difficult because man, sometimes we walk into a situation, whether it's in our family or with our friends, and we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to care for this person. But God is the one that gives us the wisdom to care for people and to love them the way that he would love them. And guys, you can apply this in your own life. Man, sometimes maybe you're put in situations where you're at a friend's house and it's late at night, and maybe your friends like click on the TV and start watching something that you know you shouldn't watch. And you're sitting there and you're like, man, like, this would be really uncomfortable. Like, I know this is wrong, but I have no idea how to like even begin to talk about that. Like, I don't know how to say like, hey, this is wrong. Because like that would be embarrassing, or like that might ruin a friendship. And guys, that's when we can go to God and say, Lord, like, help me be able to know what to say. Or maybe you have a friend who's suffering. Like, maybe somebody had a family member that passed away, and you like go to their house and you're like, I genuinely don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to them to make them feel better. Like, I don't want to just gloss over that everything's going to be okay, but like, I don't know what to say. And guys, that's when wisdom from God is important, that we can turn to him to ask him what to say. But guys, the important thing to note, as we have wisdom, as God gives us wisdom, as knowledge of, man, how to handle situations, all of that is great. But a lot of that isn't going to matter if we don't do that out of love, if we don't love the people around us and seek to understand them. So that's the second point, is that your heart follows what you love most, okay? And we're gonna flip over to 1 Kings 8. As Solomon's still king, now he has wisdom and he's leading the people. And guys, he's got riches, he's got wealth, he's got everything going for him. I mean, genuinely, like, things are blessed for him because he's walking in obedience with God, he's praising God, he's being reminded of God's faithfulness. And that's what this passage is in 1 Kings 8, verses 22 through 24. And we're going to break it down, go real slow. This is kind of what Solomon, he now has wisdom. He's been discerning. He's been leading the people. They're, you know, battling armies around them, and they're defeating them. And the nation of Israel is, like, prospering. Man, they're doing really well. It's kind of like, honestly, the Dallas Cowboys this year. They're doing really well. And so things are going really great for them. Okay, bring it back. I made a mistake talking about the Cowboys. So 1 Kings 8, we're going to read the passage real quick, and we're going to talk about it. So verse 22 says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward the heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept with your servant David, my father, what you have declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand have fulfilled it this day." And so, like I talked about, Solomon had wisdom, he had riches, he had fame. Like, everybody, genuinely everybody knew Solomon. There's a queen that came and visited Solomon and was like, I'm gonna test his wisdom. And she like tests his wisdom and she leaves breathless. She's like, oh my gosh, like, this king is unlike any other king. And I think when things go so well for Solomon, you might imagine like, oh, he's gonna get puffed up, he's gonna get prideful, he's gonna think, oh, this is all me, like, I did everything. But this passage says that he goes and says, God, there is no God like you in showing steadfast love to your servants in keeping the covenant with my father David. It's basically like Solomon just says, God, thank you. I praise you for all that you've done in my life. In a way that we just talked about a few minutes ago, that he wanted to show love for God was to build a temple. You're probably sitting there thinking, what is a temple? That's a great question. Temple, really, just back then, was a place where they could worship God, that God's presence was, and they would go and worship him and glorify him in the temple. And kind of not quite the same, but it's similar, is like coming to church and praising God. That's exactly what the temple was to the nation of Israel. And so this was important. And David, we talked about last week, David wanted to build the temple, and God said, hey, it's not gonna be you that builds the temple, but it's gonna be your son. And guess what? Solomon fulfilled that promise that he was gonna build the temple for God. And love marked Solomon. And we see it in this passage of scripture that his, what he loved most was God. He went to God instead of, you know, taking all the riches and the wisdom and being like, all right, like I'm good. I'm just gonna like coast the rest of my life. He went to God and praised him and said, God, thank you. I love you. I am grateful for you. And guys, I think that's what reflected in his leadership, because he loved God most. That led to him loving other people and leading his people well. And if we're not full of love in our lives, man, then nobody's really gonna wanna follow us. I'm sure you guys can think of people and like think of situations where even yourself haven't been the kindest, and people are like, man, like I don't really like being around you, or like maybe you know people, you're like, hey, they're hard to be around because they're not nice. Like they don't love other people well. And it's important that, guys, when we think about loving others and leading other people, it first starts with our love for God, that God is the most, because God is love. 1 John 4 talks about how God is perfect in love, that true love is found in him. And so our love for God will outflow in our love for other people. So if we first love God, then we're gonna love other people well, the way that he intended. And how does this, guys, how does this apply to us? Well, I've been thinking about it and been like, okay, like what would I be thinking about like when I was in middle school? What did I love most? Like I talked about, man, status in my friend group. And maybe that's the situation you're in. Maybe you like, what you love the most is wanting to be number one, the one that everybody looks to, the one that everybody wants to hang out with, that's always, you know, the top dog. Like I wanted to be the one that everybody knew at school, that everybody was like, oh yeah, Parker Robb, he's awesome. Like we love being around him. Or maybe, guys, loving God and making him the most important thing in your life is just giving him the time. And guys, often I fall short of this. I don't give God enough time that I should. And sometimes my heart, that's when our hearts start to drift to other things, is when we fill our time with things that are not God. And so it's something like maybe spending less time on your phone. Man, I could do a better job of that. Maybe spending less time playing video games. Maybe spending less time just sitting around, like not doing anything, and praying, and maybe reading your Bible, or just being with God, sitting, listening to a worship song. These are all different ways that you guys can continue to love God more. And let's see, continue. Solomon builds the temple. It's now the place where the Israelites are going to worship God. Things are going well for him. And God, in the next chapter, we are in chapter 8, and in the next chapter, in chapter 9, he comes before Solomon. He's like, okay, you did the things that like I promised you, I gave you wisdom, and now you've been obedient. But he kind of wanted to do a little bit of a heart check here in chapter 9. He says in verse 5, he says, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David, your father. Remember David, the promise in 2 Samuel that God made to David, that there will be somebody in his family that sits on the throne of Israel, which is the king. So all of life, for eternity forever, there's gonna be somebody that sits on the throne from the line of David. Okay, so that's what that means. And it says, as I promised your David father, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you turn aside from following me, this is important, if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them. So God's reminding in this passage, he's reminding Solomon of the promises that there's gonna be somebody that sits on the throne, right, of the nation of Israel, but if you guys turn from me, if you go and serve other gods, go fill yourself with the other things of this world, then I'm gonna cut off from the nation of Israel. And that's not a God being angry at them, but that was just, hey, I gave you the instructions. I gave you the blueprint on how to love me and how to follow me because true life is in me and there's consequences for our sin. And that's what God was warning Solomon of, that if you love me and obey me and keep my promises and follow me, that things will go well for you. All from the start of the story. And let's see how Solomon responds, okay? So now he's got this warning. Hey, if you turn from me, if you go worship other gods, like things are not going to go well for you. And let's see how Solomon responds in 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 2, and it's going to be on the screen. He says, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, 'And you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods.' And Solomon clung to these in love." And so Solomon basically went and married people outside of the nation of Israel. And that was exactly what God was warning him about. That if you turn to other things of this world and you go and be amongst people that are not the people that I had intended you, that they're going to lead you to worship something else. They're going to lead you to worship idols. And Solomon knew this warning. He had been warned before that. And yet he thought he knew best, that he was like, I'll be all right. He probably even justified it, being like, it'll be okay. Like, I still love God. And he began to turn his heart away from God and worship the idols of the different nations. And that's the third point, is that obedience leads to life. Third point is obedience leads to life. That because of Solomon's decision to not listen to the warning that God had given him, that it cost him a lot. And it costed him the entire kingdom. The kingdom was stripped from him. He was no longer going to be king. And it was given to his son. And his son's name was Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, we won't get into it too much, made some bad decisions. And basically a result of that is that the kingdom split into two parts. Okay? So Solomon's decision ultimately led to his son being king. And his son made poor decisions and continued to fall after the disobedience. And it led to the separation of the nation of Israel. And I think we can all sit here and be like, man, like, God made it clear. He gave him the blueprint of how to live a life of godly leadership and to follow him. And yet, like, Solomon blew it. And we could all be like, man, why did he do that? And it's really humbling when we look at our own lives and be like, man, we do the exact same thing. That God's made it clear for us to love him, to be with him, to follow him. And we turn from him. And we think that we know best, and we go our own way. Maybe it's something that's enticing to us. Maybe that we like we want to fit in with other people, so we make decisions to compromise with that. Maybe we wear clothes that we shouldn't because we think that will, you know, make us have friends. Or we compare ourselves to other people, and we get jealous when other people do good and we are not doing as good. And we continue to compare, like, I'm better than that person, but I'm not as good as that person. And maybe sometimes you find your worth in what people think of you. And you are so consumed with, man, I wonder what this person thinks every single day. And I wake up thinking about that. Guys, I know how that feels. I know how that feels. There have been times this week where I've been like, man, I'm worried as I give this like message run through that like the people I work with are gonna be like critical, that they're not gonna think as highly of me. Guys, I've compared myself to other people this week. I've even grabbed control of my life thinking that, hey, if I just hold on tightly and not trust God with situations in my life, that it'll be okay. And guys, we do it the same. And I want to be very clear, guys. Being obedient, you know, obedience leads to life. Obedience is difficult. Guys, there's situations that we're put in where it's difficult to do the right thing. And I bet there's been many situations this year at school where you see somebody getting bullied or you see somebody doing something that they shouldn't, and to turn the other way, maybe it's your own friends, and to do the right thing is difficult because obedience costs us things in this world. And sometimes it costs us fitting in with certain groups of people. Sometimes it costs us how people think of us. But truly, true life, if we really do believe that it's in God, then it's gonna cost us something. And that's okay, because true life is in Christ and it's fulfillment in him. And guys, to summarize what we talked about, wisdom comes from God, okay? When we don't know what to do, we don't know what to say, maybe we like really want something, man, we ask God, we go before him and say, God, would you help me? Would you help me to think of this in the way that you would want me to think of it? Two, your heart follows what you love most. Guys, learn from Solomon. He first loved God. He built the temple for God. He glorified God. He said, Lord, thank you for all that you've done. But we see that his heart changed. His mindset changed because he loved something else more. He was like, man, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna marry these women and I'm gonna worship their idols. And maybe it'll be okay. And his disobedience led to consequences because he didn't believe the third point, which is obedience leads to life. And I wanna be very clear that, man, when we make mistakes, when we fall short, that when we believe in what Christ has done and what he has paid for in our sin, that there's forgiveness. And we're gonna make mistakes. The Christian life is hard. It is hard. And we're gonna make mistakes, but God loves us and wants us to continue to walk with him. And what I want you guys to learn is that wisdom and love and life is truly found in him. Guys, I've tried a lot of different things in this world that I think would satisfy. And it's even people around us to satisfy us, to make us feel better. But ultimately, they're gonna fail us. They're gonna disappoint us because they make mistakes just like us. And guys, the reason why we wanted to talk about the Tale of Three Kings as this series, to not only learn about like leadership lessons, but is because we wanted to look at the struggles in these leaders' lives, in these kings' lives, so that we could learn from them, so that we could be aware of God's goodness and his grace in our life. That Solomon, man, turned to the things of this world, that he thought other people would satisfy him, which ultimately didn't. It led to sin and consequences. And guys, next week is Christmas, which is really exciting. And what I want you guys to think about, that's the most important thing. It's not about the presents. It's not about the food that you get to eat, but it's about Jesus. And guys, in the story of Solomon, like I talked about, the kingdom got split into two and the nation of Israel got overtaken. And then they got taken out of their land and taken to a foreign land and were enslaved. And things were not looking good for Israel. We're like, man, is God ever gonna be faithful to his promises? And probably a lot of us are like, man, I don't know how this ends well. And what I want to tell you guys is that God was faithful to his promises. That when he made that promise to David that there would be a king that comes from his line that will sit at the throne forever, that ultimately was pointing to Jesus. I hope as we, over these last 3 weeks, had looked at these three kings in the ways that they love God, but also the ways that they fell short, that we would learn that, man, Jesus, he didn't fall short. He was the perfect king. He was the perfect fulfillment of what the king of Israel should have been. And he came and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned once. He came as a baby, just like us, fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect life, never sinned, never worried about what people thought of him, never got jealous, never compared. And he went and died on the cross for our sins because sin has a punishment and a penalty. And Jesus, because he was perfect, fully fulfilled that sin once and for all on the cross. So Christmas isn't just about, it really isn't about the gifts, and it isn't about meals and being with family. It's about that Jesus came so that we could have life, that we would find wisdom, love, and life in him. And if you don't know what that looks like, to have a relationship with God through Jesus and his payment on the cross, that all your sins would be wiped away, that you'd have a relationship with him now and forever in eternity, man, talk to your small group leader. Talk to an adult. If this is your first time here, you've never been to Wake, and you haven't met an adult leader, talk to an adult that's around you. They'd love to talk to you about what it looks like to have a relationship with God. Because I don't want you to miss it, that Jesus came on Christmas, and he came because he was a perfect sacrifice and the perfect gift of grace for us, so that we, when we fall short, our sins are covered, and that we are one with God. And so let's think about that this Christmas, and let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, just thank you for who you are. God, the fact that you love us, and despite our sin and despite the moments where we run from you, God, that you continue to pursue us and you want a relationship with us. You want life with us. And God, we don't deserve that. We really don't. We are far from you. And God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Pray that we would remember that this Christmas. And thank you for the story of Solomon to remind us that love and life is found in you. So Lord, I pray for these students as they go, that they would be thinking about you this week and continue to remind themselves of the gift of Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.